Ugh, I hate it when we're late. Everybody's looking at us. They're probably rolling their eyes and thinking about how late we always are. Did I turn off the stove? Did I? I think I did. I hope I did. Did I turn off the iron? Oh, I don't think I did. I know I didn't. I should probably leave and run home. I can't believe what a blockhead I am. Ron's always saying I'm going to burn the house down one day. Oh, wait. The iron has automatic shut off. Phew. Did I turn off my cell phone?
Oh, man. Here comes the collection plate. Deb will kill me if I don't put on our tithe. But it's going to kill me if I do. How are we going to pay our bills this month? And there's Megan's ballet class and David's soccer fees. Is God still going to take care of us if I don't put this in? Am I a bad Christian if I don't? Uh-oh. I think the pastor's looking at me. Yep, he's looking right at me. I know what you're thinking, Mr. Smart Guy. You're thinking I better put in this tithe or else. Oh, who am I kidding? I'm a big fat sinner. I don't have any faith. I think I'm going to get an ulcer.
Hey, hey, Mr. Handsome Guy sitting in the front row. Yeah, I'm talking to you. How you doing? I see you looking this way. Oh, you're looking at Stephanie behind me, I bet. Wait, are you looking at me? Is he looking at me? Please be looking at me. Oh, Lord, let him notice me. He needs me. Not miss two perfect captain of the cheer squad behind me. Hey. Hi. Lord, what do you want from me? I'm 15 with no prospects for prom. What am I going to do?
Wonder what would happen if aliens came down and took over the minds of only blonde-headed girls. And then the blonde-headed girls could read all of our minds. And then they would tell it back to the aliens, and they would monitor all of our movements and what we ate and drank and thought and ate and... I've got so much to do, I'm losing my mind. If I don't have those invitations done by next week, the whole committee is going to think I can't do the work. And then I have nothing to feed everybody for lunch after church. And Riley's science project is due Tuesday. And Brenna's costume for the play isn't finished. And I have no idea how I'm going to pay the electric bill. I need a break! Praise the Lord! Maybe nobody heard that.
Look at me. Look at me. Dear God, I don't want to go to prom without a date.
I should probably look at my purse and make sure my phone is off.
Lord, please let there be a couple of bucks in my wallet.
I just need some help. I can't do this all by myself.
You know, the greatest sermon that was ever preached was the one that Jesus called the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 5 and 6, where we see that sermon, the largest amount deals with that very topic, how much anxiety and worry we have. So if you take a look at your notes this morning, these are the words of Jesus. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, or what you will eat, nor what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" It's interesting to me that things really haven't changed that much in 2,000 years. People still worry, don't they? Just like they did then, we worry today. Now, maybe slightly different kinds of things. We don't have to worry so much about whether we are going to eat. It's going to be a lot more about what are we going to do for lunch after church is over. You know, what's on the menu if we go to our favorite restaurant, or are we going to eat at home? We don't worry quite so much about whether we'll have something to wear. It's more about going into the closet and picking out something appropriate for the situation. I've got to tell you, as a pastor, it's real easy for me. I just get the black shirt every Sunday. Here we go. You know, just what color socks am I going to have? So make sure it matches. Pretty easy to do. We don't have to worry about what we're going to drink, you know, maybe Diet Coke, or just go to the refrigerator and and get the bottled water or the tap water, unlike so many people who have to walk miles and miles to find clean water. So really, what they've just done is change the categories, the terminology of what it is that we worry about. And yet we still worry. We still worry about finances. We still worry about our body. Whether you're rich or poor, you're going to worry about money. You know, if you're poor, you worry about whether you have any. If you're rich, you worry about whether you're going to have enough, how much you're going to save, what retirement's going to be like. Am I going to have a job tomorrow? How am I going to pay the mortgage, the electric bill? What about the college tuition? Am I going to be able to get Johnny into the right college? So we worry about that. We worry about our body, at least our image of what we want to look like. As they say, you can never be, you know, too rich or too thin. So we worry about that. We worry about whether, you know, my hair looks good, or if I have enough hair to look good at all, or are my teeth straight? Do I still have the gums I once had? You know, we worry about that. I heard once that Paul Harvey had a friend. You remember Paul Harvey on the radio? Some of you older folks remember him. He had a friend who, he said, an older gentleman, who had false teeth and put braces on the false teeth to look younger. We're all worried about how others perceive us, so our finances, our body. And then the one thing that we all worry about, no matter what generation, no matter the age, we still worry about our future, don't we? We worry about tomorrow. What's it going to be like? What's it going to bring? And yet, Jesus said these words, "Do not be anxious about tomorrow." Why? "For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Jesus says the reason that we worry is because we have a divided mind. In fact, the word in Greek for anxiety is to have a divided mind. So let me ask you, how many of you think you're really good at multitasking? Good at multitasking? A lot of you? Yeah, you know, we think we're good at multitasking, but really we're not. No, we can do lots of things at once. It's just that we don't do any of them very well. For example, last night I thought that I would iron some of my shirts while I watched television, and I either burned the shirts or I missed part of the program. And you can't be good at two things at once. So I told my wife that's why I can't iron shirts anymore. See, so there. All right, there's a little bit of a stretch maybe, but divided minds, focusing on those things that are important or not so important, focusing on today or focusing on tomorrow. So Jesus gives us some solutions for worry. He tells us in the Sermon on the Mount that we should act like a bird. Not eat like a bird, but act like a bird. And so he has these words for us. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Of course you are. You're children of God. You're made in God's image. Have you ever seen a bird that worries? Now, I've got a crazy robin outside of my kitchen window. I don't think he's worried. I think he just wants to come in where it's warm. He's always pecking on the glass. But you'll never see a bird that is hopping back and forth, worrying about where its next meal is going to come from. You see, I did a little research, as I always do for these messages, and in the medical literature, there is no evidence of birds ever having high blood pressure. They don't have to take any medication for that. They don't have to go to therapy for it. And they don't even know that there is a God in heaven. And we do. A God who is our Heavenly Father, who loves us and takes care of us. So Jesus says, act like a bird. They don't worry. Or he says, do the math. Again, his words. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Well, none of us can do that. We can't add any time to the day. It's going to be 24 hours every single day, no matter how much you stress out over it. Are you worried about being too short? You're not going to add any inches by worrying about it. Are you worried about being overweight? Well, I can assure you that worrying about your weight isn't going to help at all. It just makes you eat more, which adds more weight, which makes you eat more, and around we go. So there are two things, then, that you should never, ever worry about. If you get nothing else out of this message, you can write these two down. Number one, never worry about the things that you can change, right? Why not? Because you can change it. You can do something about it. So never worry about the things that you can change. And then also, never worry about the things that you cannot change. You can't change it anyway, so why worry? So don't worry about the things that you can change. Don't worry about the things you can't change. Go ahead and worry about everything else. Jesus boils the problem down to this. The root problem of all worry. He says, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, who's richer than Warren Buffett and Bill Gates combined, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? There's the problem. The root problem of worry is our puny faith, which kind of hurts, doesn't it? Jesus says, and he's talking to his disciples, you of little faith. So he sticks in the knife and then he turns it with these words. He makes it really hurt. He says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, the pagans, the atheists, the unbelievers, the heathen, they seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father, who is not stupid, by the way, knows that you need them all. So here is our problem. Jesus isn't saying that you are a heathen, that you are a pagan. He's saying you act like it. And quit doing that. Quit acting like there is no God. You see, worry then is practical atheism. It's acting like there is no God. So we have this little formula, if you'll put it up there in your notes. We're going to do this all together. There are four steps. We're going to say them, or we're going to raise our hand. Number one, there is a God. Do you believe that? Raise your hand. There is a God. Good. There's a God in heaven. Number two, that God is in control of my life. Do you believe that? Raise your hand. Some of you aren't sure. You still want to be God? There is a God. He is in control. Number three, that God loves me and cares for me. Do you believe that? And then finally, number four, so why worry? Jesus says the reason that we worry is that either we don't believe there is a God, or if we do, we don't believe he's in control of my life. And if we do, we don't believe that he loves me. Or that he will take care of me. That is the root of all worry. Jesus uses this sermon, all of these words, all of this time, all of this energy, to point out what we already know. So then he spends a very few words, and we will do the same, giving the solution to the problem. And the solution is very, very simple. If you put up his words first, he says, seek first. Seek first. The first thing you do in the morning, the first thing that you do, the first thing that you focus on, if you would do this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, guess what? All these things you worry about, all these things that consume your mind, all these things will be added to you as well. So here is the formula, and you can write this down in your notes. Proper priorities promote peace. Proper priorities promote peace. And the other part of it then, misplaced priorities multiply worry. Let me give you a little story to help show what I mean. Hopefully we all still remember Desert Storm and the sacrifice that many in our country made for that, to create more freedom in the world. During that time of Desert Storm, there was a colonel in the army. His name was William Post. His job was to make sure that there was food for all the ground forces in Kuwait. Pretty big job. Well, there was a note that came from the Pentagon. And the note said, "We are missing 40 cases of grape jelly. Would you please find it?" Well, he's a colonel, so what do you do if you're a colonel? You pick out a soldier, you say, "Go find the missing grape jelly." So he sent the soldier on his way, and he came back and he said, "Guess what, Colonel?" Probably not quite like that, but, "Colonel, can't find it." If you're a colonel, you've got better things to do than look for grape jelly. So he said, "Okay, I'll file the report. That'll be the end of it." But it wasn't. After all, this is our government. This is the Pentagon. And so they issued an order. "Colonel, use all of the resources at your disposal to find the 40 cases of missing grape jelly, because we need to do an inventory and account for it by the end of the month." To which the colonel replied very tersely. He said, "Sirs, either I can dispatch my entire army to find your 40 cases of missing grape jelly, or I can dispatch them to liberate Kuwait. But I can't do both." To which he never got a response. You see, that colonel understood what his superiors did not, and what we so often forget. Proper priorities promote peace. Misplaced priorities. The missing cases of grape jelly. Whether Johnny's going to make the soccer team. How I'm going to pay for the braces for my child. Those kinds of things multiply worry. But when we focus first on the salvation of our children, on the relationship that we have with our God, that He has loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for us, that His Holy Spirit came into our lives in our baptism, that He strengthens us in this holy meal, that He promises that He will never leave us, that He will never forsake us, that He will go with us to the ends of the earth. When we focus on God's will and His kingdom, guess what? He takes care of all those things that we worry about. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to go home, not yet, but later. I want you to go home and I want you to pick the three things, no more than that, just three for today, the three things that are on your mind that you worry about the most. Write them on a piece of paper and then commit them to the Lord. Let's all admit that our priorities aren't always exactly where they ought to be on the things of God, but they're on the things of the world and the things of us. And then let's put them in a drawer and let's let God worry about it. If you want, you can just tear them all up and let God take care of it. That's how we focus specific prayer on the things that we worry about. We'll put not so much our eyes, but our heart once again on the Lord. And as our heart is focused in the one place it needs to be, on God, then we can live our lives one day at a time. As Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. God promises to give you the strength that you need for today. And that, my friends, is always enough. May God grant it to you, for Jesus' sake. Amen.